Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco. On this edition of the show, I'm speaking with Mary Ann Halpern of Three Rivers Manufacturing. Mary Ann and her husband, Les, have been running Halpern Titanium since 1997, supplying parts for custom knife makers. But in the past handful of years, they've become known farther and wider for TRM and the amazing knives they produce right up there in Massachusetts. Mary Ann is a veteran of the show and of the town hall, but I had the pleasure of meeting her and Les in person at Blade Show 2021 earlier this summer, and I'm excited to find out what's new at TRM and what they have cooking up next for us greedy knife nerds. But first, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and click the notification bell. And while you're there, check out my knife close-up videos, Thursday Night Knives, our live stream, and other great interviews with makers and personalities that make the knife world happen. Now, if you think what we do here is valuable and you want to help support the show while enjoying exclusive opportunities and content, you can do so by going to Patreon. Quickest way to get there is to head over to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. That's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
Do you carry multiple knives, then overthink which one to use when an actual cutting chore pops up? You're a knife junkie of the first order.
Mary Ann, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, Bob.
So as I mentioned up front, I finally got a chance to meet you in person, and I met Les, too. And it was great to see you up there at Blade. How was that show for you?
It was a great show. I was thinking it was going to be much stranger, and everyone was going to be really cautious, and it just felt like being normal again. It was great. Met a lot of the people from our Facebook group. It was just good. I never hardly left the booth in 3 days. Had a lot of talking.
I had actually, when I was at your booth, it was one of the times that I met some of the people that I've spoken to just through the comment section here, and they happened to be there. So it was.
We have two guys that work for knives, Chad Watson. I met Chad maybe 7 or 8 years ago when he was buying some titanium for a project as a knife maker. And somehow we just kind of got to know each other just through Instagram. And he lives in Georgia, and I asked him to work for knives, and he gladly did 3 years ago. And then, 2 years ago, and then this past year too. And then another one of our guys from the group, Brian, he also worked for knives. And, Dylan Duff, he's on the outskirts of working for knives. He was his first time Blade Show, but it's kind of fun having some guys give us a little bit of a break, and they love it, and give them a couple knives here and there.
Yeah, it's good to have groupies. Yeah. And and please forgive me if you're listening and you guys are listening. You know, groupie, I use that term affectionately.
Oh, I know. I never thought I would have a groupie or a fanboy or whatever, but it's kind of fun.
So when I was at your booth, you did me a real solid, and I appreciate it. You gave me these beautiful scales, burlap micarta with the wing milling pattern. And so I just thought I'd show you what the knife looks like with that on there.
And have you used that knife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I use this knife a lot. Yeah. So people who know the show know I like real kind of scary tactical knives, but I also have to carry real knives for actual use. And and this is one of those knives that I carry a lot. And actually, since I've gotten these burlap scales, I'm finding I carry it even more. I've always had a real thing for micarta, and burlap is my favorite. And so today, this only got used for food today, but this is a great food knife.
Pretty much all I use, boxes and food. Yeah. Apples, carrots, and tape.
Yeah, so on the apples, it was two apples today. On the apples, it does great. It's like a chef's knife in your pocket.
Yeah, you can cut it like so you can see through the apple.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned earlier that at your table or your booth, I got a chance to meet Les. Tell me a little bit about the background of Halpern Titanium and how it evolved. I mean, before we started rolling, you were singing Les's praises as a top flight milling man. So tell me how TRM came about.
Wow, you got a couple hours here. I'll give you the short version. Halpern Titanium started in 1997 Les worked at Munson Developmental Center, where he was a designer for adaptive equipment, wheelchairs and electronic things like that. And he was told they were closing down and he was losing his job. So we thought he likes knives. We thought he'd start a hobby, kind of selling custom knife maker screws, pieces of G10, pieces of titanium. And he did that. He did not lose his job. He kept his job. He did it for part time for a couple of years. And then off we went into carbon fiber dust throughout our house when he was cutting up some coupons. So I do have a picture of him in a Facebook group with him outside and with a table saw with dust all over him because we didn't want dust in the kitchen anymore. So he got kicked outside while he was cutting up coupons for one of the manufacturers. And I said, it's time to leave. So we rented a place a few miles away, 3,000 square feet, no machines, really nearly not a business. And then we kind of got one thing after another, got to the custom knife makers. We sold, like, let's say we sold Ken Onion some G10. And then he got hooked up with Kershaw and they say, well, where'd you get this, Ken? Next thing we're shipping G10 to Kershaw, G10 around the world. So we became distributors of material. And then someone else would say, well, can you make these? Well, sure. And then we found a CNC machinist to make things for us. And the first year we did that, we built out $100,000 and I paid the person that made it $90,000. So that wasn't really good. So we said we should buy one of those machines. What is a CNC anyway? So we bought one and then we got more business and then we bought two. And then we both retired from our jobs and then we got three and five. And now we have about 30 different machines. We have two sets of burger grinders. We just have a brand new set that's going to get hooked up hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We have a surface grinder. We have two water jets. I don't know, 20 mils on and on, about 30 altogether. So we just evolved. It's much more detail along the way, but we just evolved. Every time I was in my comfort zone, but I thought it would be great if Les sold $100,000 worth of supplies to custom knife makers, and that would be a nice hobby, and we'd be done. Well, every time I would kind of feel comfortable, we would go to the next step. We'd buy a machine. Well, that's good. I like that. Oh, we got to buy another one. Oh, we got to knock a wall down and move down the hallway. Oh, we got to. So we now have about 25,000 square feet from our first 3,000, all in the same building. We just kind of, every time a business went out of business, we just took the walls down and move some machines in. So it's just been an evolution through the years. And as the industry grows, we first started, all I would order would be black G10. That's all. Black was it. You have black G10. And that's all. I'd always make sure I had piles and piles of black G10 for milling. And we did carbon fiber right from the beginning. And then a couple of colors of G10 would start. And now it's just evolved. And there must be 25 different colors of G10. And my Carta world has exploded. And now we're doing G Carta. Fat carbon probably pretty soon. So we just really evolved with the industry. The more we did flat G10. Okay. And well, can you do titanium? So you say yes. And then you figure out how. That's kind of our business model. You always say yes. And then you say how. We figure it out. We had a company that wanted us to do 8,000 parts a month. Now, first it was going to be 8,000 a year. And then it went to 30,000 a month. And then it went to, we did the first year a quarter of a million parts, and we just said, sure, we can do that. We bought machines just to do that job, and we did the same job for 12 years. So you just have to be out of your comfort zone and just keep saying yes. And we just kept saying yes. And we, you know, whatever people want. Yes. Can you do flat titanium? Of course. Oh, how about this 3D? Oh, of course we can do that. And Les has spent, oh my God. When we first started, we just did inserts, just flat little inserts for G10 for another company. And that's about the easiest programming you could ever do. And right in the middle of that, our programmer decided he didn't want to work for us anymore. And next thing, Les started the process of becoming an expert. I don't know if you're familiar at all with Malcolm Gladwell, but he believes it takes like 10,000 hours to be an expert.
Yeah.
Well, Les is like, I don't know how many tens of thousands of hours, and he just loves it. You know, we'll be home at night and he'll be watching YouTube, Master Cam on YouTube or something like that. He goes to work on the weekends, which is the shop. That's where he goes to play. So it's just in his blood, and he never stops, and he just never stops getting better.
So it was all G10 handle scales to major companies at first?
Yes. G10, okay. Sunmicarta, and carbon fiber. Those were our first few jobs. I remember we got an order from a big company for 6,000 pieces of carbon fiber, small little handle. And that was like, wow, that was unbelievable. So that's how we started.
So chances are, like, if you were collecting knives in the early 2000s and the 2010s, and you had a major manufacturer from America, you probably had TRM scales on your handles.
Halpern, but not just United States though, around the world.
Oh, it wasn't TRM at the time either.
Halpern. And that still exists. Halpern's still going and stronger than ever. So it's still going. I got two good businesses that are both growing. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Halpern's still going, but it's private, so that's what it is. And it's staying, but we just bought two more machines. Just came in yesterday, two more machines for the private label machining. So that has not stopped. That has not stopped. And people that come, when we come for little tours, they have the shortened tour because there's a whole section that we don't let anybody see. But if they do see something they shouldn't see, they have to swear that they'll never tell anybody because we'll have to kill them. So they take that very seriously because we take it very seriously. People say, I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you did that. And our answer is, yeah, that's right. That's a good thing. Yeah, we don't have to have NDA necessarily. We just take it seriously that it's private. Certain companies, they know, people say, yeah, it's okay. We've done some work for them, but we don't go run around talking about what we do for other people. But it's all that has been all those years of learning. Three Rivers just is an overnight success that started 25 years ago. All that learning, you're not really starting fresh in every way. You're starting fresh in making your own knives and all the marketing. It's a whole different end of the business. But all that learning didn't just happen in the last couple of years.
Okay, wait. So before we actually get to TRM, you're talking about private label OEM, manufacturing for other companies, other outfits. So would you say that you really earned your bones there doing the private label stuff, learned how to build knives and all? Learned
absolutely.
The pitfalls and stuff?
Absolutely. That's all we did. We're about 98% knives still. We do some things for flashlights. we do water jet cutting. We do a few things that aren't related to knives, but we're one of the few. I don't consider it a regular machine shop. We do knives. We have that niche as knives. So having our name of Halpern Titanium has been good because it's not like Halpern Knife Company. It's a small town. And today we just had two guys came to visit. They're EMTs, and they just realized that we were there. And it's like, that's good. That's good that you just realized that. It's knives, and some people freak out about it. When I was a teacher, and retired from teaching, and people say, well, what are you doing? Well, we're making knives. And you get that two-step back, and you start talking about, what do you think of those Red Sox? You just know you can't turn a non-knife person into thinking that it makes sense. You can't say, well, how do you cut your meat? What if you needed to open a box? You can't turn someone around if their first reaction is to, cringe when you say knife.
Yeah, yeah. But when you're sort of in the same environment over and over, over the past 12 years at my current job, I have turned a number of people into knife people just by giving them to them.
Absolutely.
And then I start seeing the pocket clips. A couple months later, I start seeing the pocket clips actually in the pocket.
Yeah, definitely we see that too. We'll have someone that visits, and they're not the typical guy that would spend a lot of money on a knife, but they like it, and then they'll tell their friend, or they'll give it to their brother, and their brother won't give it back. So one by one, people do that. But in the teaching world,
right?
I don't want to speak for all teachers, but they're up. When I went to a breakfast shortly after retiring, and one of the teachers says, how you doing? And I was actually started to answer, how I was doing. He didn't really care. So I just find it. It's just a different world. So we left those years behind.
Well, thank God you did, because not only is it probably better for your own sanity, but I mean, you're making these knives that people are just crazy about. How did you decide on what the first knives were going to be, and what the, after having made knives for so many different designers and knife companies out there, how did you hone down your own vision for your own company?
Right. Well, the first one was the Nomad, which I don't know if you even know. It goes back about 7 years because Les loves slip joints. So we made the Nomad and we were working with Monkey Edge on that one. And he bought a hunk of those. But the problem is we were making a lot of knives for other people at that point. So when you're doing something for somebody else, they always won. Right now, we're not making any complete knives for anybody but Three Rivers. We're still making parts, but we're not making any complete knife. So that project was one. And then the next thing, I think was Bob Terzola. Since when we started in the knife industry selling to custom knife makers, we knew all the custom knife makers. They're all, you know, they bought from us. We saw them at shows. So we, our first thought was to go back to some of the custom guys and say, all right, let's do something together. So we did the Bob Terzola. That's when we weren't having a lot of fun making names. So it was called the BT, Bob Terzola, and 1,000. That sounds good. It was the next one was going to be, you know, 2,000. We didn't know before we started having fun making up names. So we made that one. And it, at that point, it was just a couple hundred and done. That was our philosophy at that point. We did one with R.J. Martin, a couple hundred and you're done. But at the same time, we were doing other things and it kept, our stuff kept getting pushed behind. And then I think Les came with his Thunderbird. And maybe that was 4 years ago. And that one's beautiful. Another beautiful knife, but it's just has a little bit too small a niche. It wasn't something that was going to go, wow, everyone's going to have one of those.
Why? What was the design of the Thunderbird? That was a little more tactical?
No, not at all. It looks like a bird, Thunderbird, beautiful machining out the, no, I don't think there's even a picture on the website anymore. We'll send you a picture, Bob. I'm not good at describing all the intricacies.
But it was more beautiful. Sculpted.
It's sculpted, it's like Art Deco kind of thing, and it's sort of like, I wouldn't carry it. You know, it's too much. It wouldn't be something that, you know, maybe it'll poke you a little bit more than something else would. It just doesn't, to me, it's not like your everyday pocket knife, but it's beautiful. So it had a smaller market as well. I'm just trying to think where we got. Okay, then Les still likes slip joints, so, and he also said, I'm going to just make a knife. You know, when you think of, someone says, draw a knife, what would it look like? It's just kind of like what our atom and neutron is. So we made a Viator, which was a slip joint. And again, it had its market, but it's not something everybody wants, a slip joint. So we went from the Viator to the Neutron, which is the exact same knife, but it's a liner lock. And it's just a knife. It's nice. It's light, titanium, good steel, U.S., 100% U.S. Every single component is U.S. And that's when it all went nuts. Nick Shabazz got one. And he made it his knife of the year, 2018. And our grinders had been down at that point for about 6 weeks. We had no neutrons ready to get shipped. We had nothing. So Nick said, take advantage of this. You better make a waiting list or something. So I made a waiting list and in, about 10 days, we had 300. And I was like so excited. Wow. 10 days to get 300. Wow. So we got them out. And that kept growing and growing and growing. And Nick had said, why don't you make the whole damn atom, which we already were doing. Les was already making a larger version. He was making the atom. So that was not Nick's idea. That was just, I think we went with the name because I'll make the whole damn atom. So that came up. What Les also did on that one is we made pocketed liners, which gives you the material. The original material is about 140,000 thick. So it gives you an opportunity to get all kinds of material. Where the neutrons were just about 60,000 thick, and there's just not that much material you can buy at that thickness. So that whole scale phenomenon just absolutely went crazy once we started doing that. And it's just getting more and more. So after doing the atom.
Wait, hang on. Before you move on, talk about the scale phenomenon, because that is a, that is a huge concept in these knives. Tell us how these are built and their customizability.
Well, it's built that you can just take the scale off without removing the pivot. You don't have to take it apart at all. So all you're doing is taking out the scale screws and the clip, and it just pops right over the pivot, and you put on a new one. We have customers that have, I don't know, one customer has 16 atoms, all with different scales, but some customers might have 16 scales and one atom. But it is easy to take them off. And it's a little tricky for us because when you're taking a scale, every single one has to be so perfect that it's going to fit on the other guy's scale. If you had a scale that had a problem and you're assembling the knife, you could fix it right at that time. If the pocket was a little bit off, something was wrong. But now we're sending out thousands and thousands of scales, separate scales to go onto somebody's knife. you know, my Carta acts different from G10. It could be a little warped or something. So somebody's getting this and they put it on and say, wow, how come it's not laying flat or this or that? So it's quite a challenge to make sure that somebody can get it and put it on that easily. So we, since that was such a good phenomenon, we kept it going with the, and made the Neutron. It's kind of its baby brother now. The Neutron came, the Neutron 2 has the same, pocketed liners. So that material is 125,000 thick. That also gave us the same idea of being able to get lots of different materials. And it just keeps growing. I don't know how many, maybe 50 different scale options, maybe more. I think we've had 60 at one point for the atom, just the atom. So it gets a little bit crazy. As far as having an inventory, I mean, Les always says, well, you don't really want to have an inventory. I'm saying how we need more room for our inventory. And he says, well, that doesn't sound such a good idea to make more room for an inventory. The idea is that you don't have a big inventory. So we definitely try to gauge what people are going to like. So we don't, you know, overdo it with something they don't like or really underdo it with something that people wish they had. So it's a bit of a balance. And also trying to have the scales you need when you're trying to put knives together, not just worrying about scales that are, oh, I don't know, is the Thunderbird not even on there? Oh, boy.
Take so you just did a drop of G Carta yes. Atom scales. I'm going to get the green. Yes. And I know I have to jump on it because they're going to be gone.
Yeah. There's still some green.
God, they're beautiful. I love GL Hansen and Son. Yeah, I love their G Carta.
Yeah.
So the other night when we were talking, you mentioned how you're doing something new with your scales, contouring. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. I never leave home without my Neutron. It's very subtle. It's very subtle, but it's contoured horizontally and it's contoured going across the short way. And it's very, very subtle. If you look at it, the back end is, it's kind of one of these things. It's very hard to picture. It is on, you can see them on the website, but. It's just that it took a long time to get that contoured. So sometimes things that are, so looks like, oh, that was so simple, but it's not simple to get that. So you don't have one side that's too sharp on the end or whatever you might have to do. Yeah. And with the contour, we still have to come down to be able to use the same pivot. So it has to have a spot there, the pivot and where the screws are. Cause if you're going to have different scales swap, they have to fit the flat ones. They have to fit the 3D ones. They have to fit the wing ones. They have to fit everything. So there's a lot to the programming to make it use the same hardware that people already have. So there's a lot of little tricks to it.
Do you think that this scale concept has been a driving force in the success of these knives?
I don't think it's been a driving force. I think it's just been like an extra, a really extra, I won't say surprise, but to the degree it is, yes, it's a little bit beyond what I could have thought. I think it's just all part of it. I mean, certainly you wouldn't buy 16 atoms that had the same scale on it, but it's a phenomenon. But it certainly the knives themselves, like Nick made it the knife of the year. But we have to people say, oh, he got the best QC ever. But every customer feels like they need and deserve, and we give them the same QC. So it's easy if everything people tell you how great they are, but you gotta back it up. And I think that's the hard part for us. But yeah, we love the scales. Did I charge you for those? Or I give you those, Bob.
No, you gave me these.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Didn't get that.
And I'm
didn't
not
get
giving
the bill
them back.
You didn't get the invoice. Oh,
no, I didn't get the bill yet. That's for
sure. No, that's right. We have fun with that. Hillary has contests on one of our great workers has all kinds of contests on our Facebook group. And, you know, you might get a free scale. You might win a chance to buy a scale, whatever. My knives, all kinds of things. So that's a very active group. We're over 3,700 members now. And we're still trying to keep it that nice and warm and fuzzy group. And they're really awesome guys. They sell their knives for no markup. There's guys that, oh, I have an extra. They give it away. They make up their own contests. Just an amazing group.
So I think the scale concept is really valuable to, you know, knife collectors who, you know, these are not the easiest knives to get your hands on in the first place. So if you have a way to make it seem like you have a whole collection of them, just by swapping out the scales, I think that's a brilliant way to sort of handle demand while you're making more. But what about the knife itself? Do you think is and I'm right now I'm talking about the one I have, which is the Atom, but all of your knives. What do you think separates them from the herd?
Well, I think what our brand at this point is that they're light, they're well made. They're good materials, titanium, good steels. And they're just a knife. They're not intimidating. They're a knife. You can flick it out. People bring them in their office or they get the nerd for their office and they just work. They're nice. They're sharp. They're light. You don't even know you're carrying it. And we definitely are proud of 100% USA. I'm sure that matters to some people, but it really matters to us. And that includes every single item in here. Nothing is made anywhere but in the United States. Every screw, every pivot, thumb stud, clip, everything is sourced in the United States. And that's important for us, too, that we're manufacturing this country. And that's the way it's going to be.
You mentioned that Les sort of indicated he just wanted to design a knife. You know, he got some of his artistic jollies out, if you will, with the Thunderbird, and then he just wanted to design a knife. And I feel like the fact that this is kind of has classic clean lines,
right?
And there's not too much flash to it. Really,
right.
It seems like so much energy was put into making it thin, making it easy to carry, and making the blade itself thin with a very thin grind, thin behind the edge. People love these knives, I think,
because
they cut so well.
They cut. I've been cut many times.
It's funny because it almost seems like with some designs, the cutting part is an afterthought.
Right.
I think that's changing a lot just due to popular demand and such. But I think your knives really were part and parcel to starting that. It sounds ridiculous.
I think so too. That 90,000, which is very thin. It's a trick to grind it like that so the blades don't bend and keeping it all even. It's a challenge to do that, but I do think we kind of set some people to say, maybe I shouldn't make such big, bulky knives that I have to use to pry things. So most of the time, all you're needing is to cut a box or a piece of tape or something. So, they're practical. And I just carried a Neutron. I don't need 3.5 inches, but a lot of people, the Neutron's too small for them. So kind of cover those two bases.
So at your table at Blade, I couldn't help but notice the gorgeous new knife or new-ish knife on the turntable. Tell us about the Shadow and how that design was born. It seems different, but the same. You know, obviously coming from the same place, but a kind of a new concept, different concept.
Right. The turntable had the titanium Shadow, I believe, right?
Yes.
Or anyway, we have both of them. I have in my hand here. I have three things here that are very hard to get right next to me here. I figure that's part of your show, right?
That, yes, it is.
Here we can stir everybody up here. The Shadow, Les was just in awe. One of his heroes, he does not have many heroes, is Les Diassis, the owner, former owner. Well, he's the owner of Benchmade, who just loved this whole Axis Lock and McHenry and Williams that designed it. Just think it was just awesome. So when that came off patent, he knew he wanted to try that out. So that was just our first reason to try to do the Shadow. Needs a little bit more room than the slimness of the Atom and the Neutron. So it's a little bit wider. We still wanted to keep a lot of our details. It's still got 20 CV steel. It's got all titanium thumb studs, titanium insert. What else we got here? Titanium cap on the lock bar, titanium deep pocket clip. What else we got there? And his lock bar, it comes apart in two pieces. So when you go to take it apart, which everyone will, it's a lot easier to put it back together. He just showed someone today. It's like, it takes it just a few minutes. There's not many parts to have to worry about because that you could take the lock bar apart. When Nick Shabazz reviewed that and he said, well, he came up with that. Well, nobody else has had much time to think of something. So, okay. I thought it was a pretty cool idea that he came up with that.
Oh, I think it's a great idea because I'm sure anyone who's ever taken apart a regular Axis Lock knife and put it back together knows it is not.
Or didn't put it back together. We have a couple baggies of Axis Lock
or
other companies' version because after it came apart, it's in a baggie now.
Yeah, you start questioning, do I really like this knife? I don't use it that much. Maybe I could do this.
Yeah. It never got put back together, so. So that's where the Shadow came from. Yeah, it's also 3D again. It's kind of hard. People compare prices as always. It's why is it more than this? Why is it more than that? It's one of these things that you have to get it in your hand, and the way it's contoured, it just fits right into your hand, and it's nice and smooth. And it's got a milled head on the pivot, and since the G10 is contoured, the head of the pivot is also contoured. Each head is put is milled separately in the mill and CNC machine to have the same contour so it sits flush. All those kind of details are things that, you know, we kind of try to make them a little bit more special. Now, if you just want a knife to cut, that doesn't really matter to you and you're not going to spend this much money. But if you look at this knife and you just like to look at it and play with it and flip it and appreciate all that machining, then it's worth it. We just had a lotto for to buy 10 of these and 900 people were willing to have a chance to buy them. So we're not worried about that group of people that thinks, oh, wow, I could buy a X, Y, or Z. So we're really happy about the shadow. 2 weeks before Blade Show, Les says, I think I'm going to make a titanium one. 2 or 3 weeks. And sure enough, he did. And it came out beautifully. We actually made 10. It had pretty much the same program as the G10 one. So he was able to make it. And it's just beautiful.
How much more work and machine time? Here, hold that beautiful thing up. And if you don't mind, pop open the blade. Let's see what the blade looks like too. It's a little bit different from your.
No. Yeah. The blade's different, but it's exactly the same as, yeah. So it's the same as the G10 one. The hardware is the same. So it was able to, once Les made the titanium, he was able to just use the same hardware, the same blade, popped it in, and the knife worked. So that was like, wow.
You've gone to a clip point, which I love, or you know, that sort of, it's a slightly different.
Yeah.
Are there bearings in there?
No, Les just had a discussion with somebody about, no, he hates bearings. This is about as lock shut. We're not into, let's see how lock shutty everything is. Our knives are not designed to be, let's see how much you can chop your finger off. This one is a little bit more than obviously the other ones, but we just aren't designing things to see how much you can cut your finger off. So, but it definitely, it's nice and smooth. See, this goes nice and back. So what we did is we had a lotto for these, at the Blade Show, and they went over very well. So I'm not going to commit yet that we're going to put these in production. I hope so, but we're not going to start lists. We're not going to say, why don't you just make this? How come you did that? Why did you say that? So we're hoping, but we're not making any promises on this.
So with the new kind of format, the your style of the access lock, you call it the River Lock?
Yeah, we call it the River Lock. We get a lot of help for names using the Instagram or Facebook, and we end up doing things related to rivers. Like we have the River's Edge paddle strap, and this became the River Lock. Somebody said River something, and together we came up with the River Lock on that one. So
how much more complicated is the actual production of that with doing the River Lock, which is different from everything else you do?
I wish I had one that was taken apart. There's just an awful lot of small parts and very intricate machining inside here.
So there are milled, like very small milled grooves, almost like.
It almost looks like a custom maker would do some knurling on or something. So that some really nice things.
Yeah. I had a chance to pick one of the I don't know if it was the same titanium one, but I got a chance to hold it and flip it and it has a great feel in hand. You've got a finger choil on that knife, which is different from, you know, at least the Atom that I have.
Yeah, there's a lot more space.
And the blade is broader, and it just has a different feel, but, oh, man, just a luxurious feel. And I know luxury is not what you're aiming for, but when you can zero in on your manufacturing in such a way that it just feels luxurious.
I think in this case, that is kind of what it is, because we actually like the feel of the G10. It's a little bit lighter and would tend to use that one more. But this is beautiful. It's probably an ounce. I actually have my scale here. Don't go anywhere without a scale, right? Yeah, it's just about 5 ounces for the tie and 3.5 for the G10 one.
Wow.
It's still not heavy for, you know, so much titanium, but compared to the other one, it is. But I hope we get this out, but I make too many promises and it's too early on.
Right.
I did that with the titanium Atom, and we're into that for about 2 years now. And finally, I think we're going to be able to bail out. About a year and a half ago, I threw out to the Facebook group, hey, who would buy one of these for $375? And everybody said in. And somehow I made that an official list. It was over a year ago. And then, because what happened is, I told you that Les made a prototype for the shadow, and right away it worked great. Okay, we can do this. He made 10. Well, he made a couple of the titanium, Adam, and the first couple were great. So, of course, oh, good, let's go tell everybody and make a list. So that was over a year ago. So he had some problems that he ended up not really being able to solve. So we went back to where we started about 2 years ago, making titanium scales.
So these are titanium scales we're looking at here?
Well, these are, titanium scales and titanium clip. Made it a little bit different clip, made it so it's countersunk. And what we're going to do, eventually we want to sell them as scales. But right now what we're going to do is we're going to get through our list of whatever it is, 95, as a whole knife. We want to make sure that it functions well with these because, you know, each material is slightly different. When we first started making titanium handles, it wasn't working right. Couldn't get the lock up right. There were just some different issues that Les couldn't work through. He's figured them out. We're 99% sure he has, but we want to get the first 100 as complete knives and then more after that. Now, once we feel that they're all out and we can start just selling them as scales, and people won't have issues once they get them. Won't have lockup issues. Okay. We don't want anything going out that's not safe. So for right now, we're going through the Facebook list, and there is no more. You cannot be added to the list. You cannot swap for the list. You cannot beg for the list. You can't bribe me for the list. You can't. Not even maple syrup from Canada is enough. Somebody tried that one the other day. Not enough.
Oh, I was thinking that was a hint.
No, that's not enough. Can't do it. So we hopefully will go more beyond that first 100, obviously. And definitely get out just to doing handles, which we've made tens of thousands of titanium handles. So it's not like we can't do it. It's just a matter of how it's going to work for our whole business.
I would definitely buy those for this. And so 9 days ago, as we're recording this, you did an Adam drop. It sold out.
Well, that was a secret. That was just Adam 9 days ago. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I can't keep track anymore. Yeah, sell it.
Sold like hotcakes, like immediately, right?
Yeah, they sell out fast. We get to the point where we don't want it to be like so dramatic that we didn't get it in 3 minutes. You know, they last half an hour or an hour or something like
half
that.
Half an hour. Okay.
Well, it's still you don't get the, it was in my cart and it got robbed and all of that. It's like it's out there and we keep making more and more and more. The other day I dropped 50. Was that yesterday? I dropped 50 without anybody knowing. But once the group knows, the scouts are out.
Right.
They tell the group, but then they're gone.
So what are the batch sizes that you create? Oh,
when we put them in release, anywhere from like 175 to 250-ish, that kind of a thing is where we probably a good spot.
How much, give us an idea of what the operation is like without, you know, divulging any secrets. But I mean, how much hand, obviously they have to be put together by hand, but how much hand finishing and like what is it like once the component parts of these come out of their various machines and such?
There's not a lot at hand work. You know, we just can't do that much production to have that much finished work. But we do have tumbling and our different processes for tumbling the blades and the handles and the liners. The blades get the most effort. They have a certain tumbling process before they get the logo. Then they get the logo. And then there's another process to get the burr off the logo. Other than that, there really isn't a lot of hand work. I mean, they have to come off. The scales need to come off. They shouldn't need any other work after that. Sometimes we have to do some more work on the micarta, do some hand work on the micarta or on the edges of the scales. But the idea is that they're manufactured and they're ready to go, ready to be put together. Or we wouldn't afford to be able to make them.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of hard to imagine. I mean, because they really... the only ones I've experienced are the ones that were at your table, which was, I think, just one, really, that shadow, and then my own. Yeah. But they're so kind of perfectly put together. It kind of made me wonder how they actually come together.
Well, what happens is the ones that don't come together are in that bucket, are in that place that nobody sees.
Right.
So we know our customers look at things very carefully. So our QC is, we look at every, I mean, we look at the same, you know, the light at noon, you know, with your microscope or whatever. We know we really know what people are going to notice. And so we try to kind of anticipate that and not go, oh, you can't say, is that good enough in our shop? Because you always know what that means when someone says, is that good enough? You know, it means it's not. So it's not. We also have what we call two and three dots. If there's something wrong, some cosmetic, it's usually going to be with the blade because anything else we could replace. Some kind of cosmetic, and we take $20 off and we call them two dots. We put two little dots. We have them engraved on the back by where it's the knife, right where it says TRM USA, okay. Two little dots. And we called them originally good, but not good enough. And now they're just the two dots. We got the two dot and the three dot. And the guys on the group, you got any two dots? Got some two dots coming. Here's a little secret. I think it's going to happen before this gets aired, but we're going to have 22 dot DLC atoms as knives, complete knives on our website. So I think that's going to be, next week, right before this airs.
So really, I'm the only one who's going to know about it. I'm buying them all, and I'm going to flip them.
and you're going to flip them away.
That's interesting. Two dot. So yeah. Two dot is some sort of blemish. What is the three dot?
Three dot tends to be, it looks something in the blade. Again, we don't have very many of them. If the blade has a little bit of a flat spot when it's being bevel ground, which makes it look like it's bent. It really isn't bent, but it makes it look bent. And we sure don't like to make many of those. And we don't tend to have many of those. Originally, we just wanted to sell these at shows. Then when there's such a long period with no shows, so we trusted that the guys in the group learned when it meant to be two dot, three dot, and we trusted that they could get them and understand it and not say, hey, wait a minute, there's a little scratch. Yes, that's why it's a two dot. So we haven't had issues doing it on that. So sometimes we put them up as naked knives without any scales because guys have so many scales without knives. So we put up sometimes naked atoms or naked neutrons.
That's a great idea.
So they can just take some of their scales that they have. But this time with the DLC, it's pretty special. No one but you knows that we're going to sell them as knives. We're going to put nice scales on them and sell it as a knife.
Pen out, writing down. tell us about the design process. Is it you and Les? Is it just Les? And is it in the computer world? Tell me about how these knives are designed.
Right. I mean, we definitely have used other designers. Like I said, a couple of those things that we did with Bob Gisola and RJ Martin. And that's certainly something we could do again in the future. But right now, Les has been doing it. And it's just, I can't even describe what it involves. He definitely uses Mastercam and hours and hours and hours of designing it. And then it gets to a point where something can be, he wants to see what it looks like. And we use our water jet very early on and just make the knife, just the basic parts of the knife so you can see it and feel it, what it looks like. That's how we start originally. It's very nice having your own water jet right there to go take a file and just cut some out and play around with it. And it's kind of amazing that I keep saying the Facebook group, but when we did the Nerd, we had about five different iterations of that because people would keep saying, well, what about this? I don't like this. I hate that. And we'd like to make things that we like, but it doesn't matter if other people don't like it. So we do like to listen to what our customers like. So it's a long process, and a lot of things end up going nowhere too. We've got quite a few of those. But right now we're on a good thing with taking that shadow and then moving it to the titanium and continuing on with our different scales. So right now we're really focusing on the shadow. At some point we'll do some more, similar to using the same River Lock with other models, but it's hard to do too much at once. Because right now atoms and neutrons are in continuous production. You know, it could take 10 weeks from beginning to end. We got, you know, heat treat a couple of weeks. We got, double disc and grind a couple of weeks. So it's a long process. So you have to have, right now we have several thousand blades in process doing something somewhere, either being assembled or at logo or at heat treat or being milled. So there's always something going on. So there's constant. There's probably 1,000 atoms and 1,000 neutrons and 600 shadows and 400. There's a few thousands somewhere. So most of my job is to coordinate all of that. So there's always something everywhere. There's always something at the end. And there's always something getting ready to get to the end because we have people that work there. If you're working assembly, you have to have something to assemble.
Right.
So everybody's got to have what they need. If your job is to bevel blades, you have to have blades that have come back from heat treat so you can bevel something.
So everything's kind of always staggered. There's always something.
It's just a constant cycle, several cycles. Right now there's probably four cycles of neutrons someplace doing something.
How do you find the difference between the knife part of the company and other? I mean, just in terms of the business.
It's completely different in terms of the business part of it. Where with manufacturers, when we started with custom knife makers and it's one person at a time, and I gradually jumped to manufacturer. It's like, wow, this is different. You know, you're doing emails and everybody writes big long paragraphs, and it's just so formal and wow. But with the big companies, you're doing a big order and you're making stuff and you're shipping it out, and then they're going to pay you. And you're only dealing with a handful of people in, you know, in sales or in marketing, or you know, just a handful of people at each company, versus you take your own knives and we're selling almost all of them directly. So one by one, you're dealing with every single customer, every single customer's problem, and you're marketing something. When we were making other customers' knives, it got a little frustrating when our knives were like Knife of the Year or on Blade magazine or something that weren't ours. But it's still different. The whole marketing thing is the key to going from somebody else makes it, they pay you, and they get all the praise. They earned it because they did the marketing end of it. So now we get to learn how to do that part.
And, how do you
so
do
it's
the
completely
marketing?
Completely different. Oh, boy. How are we doing it? We just did it. We just start one by one. Started with that Facebook group has been huge. And started that a few years ago. But the last 2 years, it just keeps growing. I just believe in, you know, little at a time. We just keep moving. We believe what people want to hear, what they want to say. We make changes. If it makes sense to us, we can do it fairly quickly. We answer every phone call. We don't have a message machine. We answer every email. I answer every private message, every message on Instagram, every comment everywhere. Wow. But I have good people that give me time to kind of play, because people like that. They like to think that, you know, that I'm part of it. Now, obviously, it's not a joke. I am actively a part of everything there. So it's just a matter of developing relationships. I mean, my teaching background has been tremendously important part, which I didn't even realize at all, the planning and the interacting with one at a time. I was a special ed teacher teaching mostly adolescent boys, reading, writing, math. And you better know how to fill up some time. You better know how to interact. You better know who's in a good mood, who's in a bad mood, who likes hot balls and who likes Tootsie Rolls, you know, just right down to that. And that's just in my nature from teaching. And all the planning and organizing and keeping and being able to change as the things change in business constantly in manufacturing. You can have this great plan. I just told you about the blades and they go here and then they go there. Well, in the meantime, that machine's down. That guy's out. You know, that's reality. And teaching, I had to do that. You have to kind of shoot from the hip. You have to change and adapt constantly. I taught junior high school right there. I was responsible for 100 different students with scheduling them and working, you know, supervising their teacher's aides. And something happens every day. You know, there'd be a kid that you was on the attendance and it said he was out, one of your favorite kids, and you get the attendance and he was out and you had him in class at 9 o'clock. And guess what? He came. He was in on time for your class. So, you know, just constantly little adjustments, that kind of thing. Who's in, who's out, who's sick. So those adjustments leading to manufacturing and organizing and planning ahead and working with all kinds of people just kind of was a natural progression, especially scheduling knives. So I did scheduling as a teacher too for kids. So just a different kind of scheduling, knives.
Knives are so much more fun than kids. Just kidding, kids. Love you. Do you have any plans? Does TRM have any plans to do a flipper?
We've done, and we're not. We've done a few. No, okay. We're not. We don't like flippers.
Is that a matter of taste, or
yeah,
or is it,
yeah? We don't like them. We've done them. We don't need to do them. We don't like them.
So how do you feel about the front flipper then?
We did one. We did that in a Kagaya, which was one of those projects that never got finished. Yeah, oh. we just don't really like them. We like what we're doing, and we let other people flip. We did a beautiful flipper for, we were doing a turbocharger, Greg Lightfoot's turbocharger. We made about 6 prototypes and they were just absolutely gorgeous. It was bearings and a flipper and it just does not fit what we are. So we gave up the project. That was 2 years ago. It's a beautiful, so I think it's our best work ever. So did we show you that at the late show?
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, because we like to show off with that one. It's just gorgeous work.
I love Greg Lightfoot's designs. So yeah. I probably.
So his that design just doesn't. We know Greg for 20 years. So we went back, hey, Greg, let's do something. So we worked for many months getting it back. It's just perfect replica of his. And we brought it to Blade Show, and people wanted an atom and a neutron. And yeah, that's nice. You have any atoms. So we realized it just wasn't our thing. So yeah. it was bad, but it was less always. He's got a good attitude about that. Well, I learned a lot while I was doing it. So,
yeah, I mean, you really have this core product that people are just that real knife aficionados are crazy about. And like you were saying before, I mean, you were basically indicating that your marketing happens. I mean, you do a lot of hard work in responding to everyone and everything, but a lot of the marketing happens in your little tight knit Facebook community, for instance, mm-hmm. or you know, I've never seen, you don't ever sell these at distributors or online purveyors, do you? And I don't remember ever seeing an ad or anything like that.
We did start 2 years ago at Blade HQ, and it still says coming soon for like a year and a half now. They never take it off. We just couldn't supply them. We just could not come anywhere near supplying them. One time we sent them 50, and the way they did things is they would show people what's new that day. But when they sent out their emails, it was in the evening. So people that just watched what's new bought them all before the evening, and then they never sent out the email. So they had quite a nightmare to try to figure out how to answer that one. So, I mean, they couldn't believe it was like a minute. They were like gone, and they never even hit the email notification people. So I kept saying, you know, as soon as we can get, you know, 100 of each knife a month, we'll be, and it just, we can keep selling them ourselves directly. We can sell a lot directly. We do have two brick and mortar stores. This is an experiment I came up with about a year ago that you can only sell. You have to be in the store, and we give people a chance to come to a store, feel it, maybe never heard of it before. And they just get 10 atoms at a time. And that's, just to try something new.
So are these local knife stores local to you?
They're on our website, River's Edge. And Way of Knife. And they do some awesome mods, which is, again, I think separates us from other companies, is that we encourage people to make modifications on our knives. To me, it's sort of a compliment that we like it so much that we want to spend more money and we send it to other people. We've got Match Anderson that's made, he makes just beautiful scales for the Neutron and the Atom. And, I actually started him, encouraged him way back, helped work with him, gave him a few things that he needed to think about when he was milling things. And he's a member of our group, and his little hobby side thing is helping him pay his tuition for school. So, we encourage it. It's great. We even have a section on our website that says customer mods. We have all kinds of pictures of people that do things to fix our knife. It's just, to me, it means that you really like it. Someone liked it enough, he made leather scales for his Neutron. Never again, he said. So there's one set of those.
Have you heard of G.L. Hansen & Sons Cowcarta yet?
Yes, I have. There's certain G-Cartas that aren't good for us for machining. Some of them with too many little colors, it can kind of, it peels out or it chips or it's just not strong enough. So certain ones that we cannot do, not without losing too much. It's expensive. So we can't, you know, you can't have a fallout of 30% of your material after you've already milled them, find out it cracks or something. So yeah, there you go. There's the leather ones.
Beautiful mods, man.
Oh, and there's a Thunderbird.
That's the Thunderbird. Okay.
Yeah.
That is
I think that's Mike Person who, anodized that or had it anodized. These guys send presents. That's why I know all these names. They send gifts. We like gifts. And that
we like gifts. I like the one that looks like a rainbow trout there.
Yeah, that's from Amplify.com. That's their Instagram. Wow. And we sell them actual G10 handles, so they obviously fit perfectly, and then they do what they do. It's really nice things. They have other companies too, but they do some nice stuff.
So, what is everyone looking? What can we look forward to from you guys? We got the shadow. I mean, so you basically told me you want to bring the shadow wide. You just don't know how wide or when.
Yeah. We're gonna keep going with that one. We have experimented with doing a button lock. A lot of people like them. Les doesn't like them, but you know, someday if we have time, I even had it named. It was named Ember. I saw that name in a restaurant in New York. I said, I like that. And then someone else said they had it Ember, so I changed it to Blaze. So we have a name, but we don't have a knife yet. So got it all it's all designed, so it may happen. But now that the shadow has become a shadow with titanium, we'll probably make a carbon fiber shadow. Who knows what we'll do with neutrons and never can tell. So we do other things down the road, but right now there's so many different things at developing the river lock, doing other knives with that, and trying to get what we are doing steady. And we can get a certain, like right now, we're getting a lot of atoms out, a lot of neutrons. So we're getting fewer people yelling at us how they can't get one. There's still shadows are still yelling, but so we want to get to the point where that's not quite so crazy. There's a lot to balance, obviously.
And you mentioned fat carbon maybe in the offing.
Yeah.
That would
yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the few carbon fibers that really gets me going. I really like the way that stuff looked. So if people want to keep up with you, probably the best way is the Facebook group and Instagram.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And that Facebook group seems to be a pretty welcoming place, but also a place where a lot of wheeling and dealing happens.
Oh, yeah. A lot of trades, but it's not like flipping things for like, if somebody sees something that's a higher price, they'll bring it to the group. And we don't, not too often is it someone in the group that's flipping it for three times as much. But they're kind of an amazing group that actually give things away and sell knives for no money, no gain. They're just because, hey, I want someone else. I didn't buy an atom because I want someone else to get it. Or I bought an atom and he's going to sell it to this other guy that didn't have one. They're just kind of a remarkable group of people from around the world. It's really fun.
For the love of the TRM knives. Well, Marianne, thank you so much for coming on the Knife Junkie podcast. It was great as always to catch up with you. And, not that my enthusiasm needs to be reinvigorated, but this whole blemish thing, this whole two dot thing.
Got you intrigued, right? Yeah. I'll see if I can, see one for you, Bob.
Oh, geez.
All right.
All right, Marianne. It's been a pleasure.
All right. You too. Good night.
The Get Upside app is your way to get cash back on your gas purchases. Get Upside is an app you put on your smartphone, and whenever you need to get gas, search your area for savings, claim your discount, fill up your tank, and then take a picture of the receipt with your phone. And that's it. You've just got cash back. Visit theknifejunkie.com/save on gas to get the app and start saving. Again, that's theknifejunkie.com/save on gas.
There she goes, Marianne Halpern of TRM Three Rivers Manufacturing. I love their knives. I love catching up with her. It's always fun. And the power of yes, I love that. You know, can you do titanium? Yes. And then you figure out how. Always say yes, and it will take you places. Just look at TRM. That's how they got where they are. Check out the other great podcasts with other interesting people right here on Sundays. You can either watch on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, etc., or you can just listen. If you're mowing the lawn or doing the dishes and you can't be watching, listen to a podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, iHeartRadio, or iHeart, I should say, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and, a lot more. So check us out there. Of course, there's the Wednesday Midweek Supplemental. We've been having some guests on that as well. And of course, Thursday Night Knives, the warmest night of the week. Thursday Night Knives, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I am Bob DeMarco saying don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.